follow me on this journey. And when you get to the end of the 4 days and you have the full picture, then you can make a judgment of if is this system right for you or not.
Off-gassing, a scuba podcast with host Nick Hogle. Most of my growing up was in New Hampshire, so it's always nice to speak with a fellow New Englander. I had a wicked good time sitting down with Meredith Murr Tangway and hearing about her journey through the sport. The cold and demanding diving environment of the Northeast pushed her to seek a higher level of training, which led her to a Fundy's course in 2003. In this episode, we speak about the early days of GUE, her pathway to becoming an instructor, wet rocks diving, recreational training with GUE, and some common misconceptions about training with global underwater explorers. Please enjoy. Mare, how are you doing this evening?
I am well, and yourself?
I am good. I am very excited to have you on and hear about your journey. So I'll just jump right in and ask the first question. So tell me all about your first breath underwater, that first experience. What led to it? Was it absolutely amazing? Was it incredibly terrifying? Was it the life-changing moment? Or was it... Tell me all about it. Tell me all about it.
Yeah. So I had always kind of wanted to try scuba. I'd always been a big water person, partially because my mother was very much not a water person, but my parents didn't want me to become one of those people who was afraid of water. So I actually didn't learn until I was 25 years old that my mother didn't learn how to swim until she was 25 years old. So they overcompensated big time. So I did tons of water activities growing up. But I didn't get certified before heading off to college. And in my junior year of college, I needed PE credit, physical ed credit. And I could have either taken bowling twice or scuba once. And, other than like an entire semester of guaranteed gutter balls, I figured, chilling in the diving well was probably a better solution. So I had a slightly different open water course than most because it was, like 3 hours once a week for an entire college semester for all the pool time. So that was a fairly good experience. But then this was spring semester of my junior year, and I went to school in upstate New York, and I went to do the checkout dives the first weekend in May in central New York. So if any of you don't know that, that is a very cold state. And it was a unseasonably hot day, 80 degrees, about 25 C, and the water was a degree above freezing.
Oh,
and
wow.
We were in dry suits. And it had just rained and there was like 2 inches of visibility. And our instruction was like, if follow the line, and if you weren't getting kicked in the face by your buddy, then swim faster. And I had the most horrible like checkout experience. And I didn't dive for 3 years after that because I was like,
wow. This
sucks. I'm cold and I'm hot at the same time. And I could see 2 inches. And the biggest highlight of my certification dives was a toilet. Underwater, okay. Not above water, but thankfully.
are you from the Northeast originally?
I'm from Boston originally, yeah.
Oh, really? Like Boston, mm-hmm. Or right outside or anything?
Well, yeah, just North Shore. So any of the Bostonians, we can get into the which North Shore, South Shore, Metro.
yeah. Oh, vibe. Wow. Okay. So I actually grew up in New Hampshire, Southern New Hampshire. I don't know if you're familiar with Londonderry, Manchester, Londonderry.
Yeah.
It was Londonderry.
Yeah,
a lot more
yeah.
people know Manchester. But yeah, so whenever I never like claimed Boston as a city, but whenever, moving around and traveling around, nobody knew Manchester or Londonderry, New Hampshire. So I'm like, oh, I'm just from, because we were pretty much like 40 miles north of Boston. Like it
exactly.
was, yeah. I mean, the whole Northeast in general.
you're lucky people recognize the name Concord and associate that with New Hampshire. But yeah, or Portsmouth. Yeah, no. You gotta go to Boston. Yeah, no. So I was about 30 minutes outside the city myself. So.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. It's always nice to meet a Northeasterner. I haven't been back there in years. My parents moved out long time ago. And I think the last time I was back there was like maybe 2009 or even before that. I can't even remember. Yeah, it's been a long time. But
it's wicked cold. Don't need to be there anymore.
Wow. Blast from the past right there. It's been a while since I've heard that one. Okay. So you did not like, how was the whole course up until the checkout dive? Was it a lot of fun? I'm assuming that it's in pools, theory.
I think the whole, you know, I was a science major in college. So for me, it was more like literally decompression from, it was my only time during the week that, I could kind of chill out. So, and I had a lot of water comfort. Like I lifeguarded through high school and all that kind of stuff and was big into water activities. I had just never done scuba before. So, you know, in hindsight, I don't really remember all the details of like how things were presented to us because, you know, now we're pushing almost 25 years ago. And, you know, it probably enough things from my college experience that I'm trying to block out that it's just gotten lumped in with that. So, yeah.
So 3 years, how did you decide to get back into it? Why did you decide to get back into it?
Well, so after college, so just the economy of the time was my senior year of college was the year of 9/11. So I graduated into a crap economy. And so I was like, all right, mom, dad, what are you doing? I need to go find grant work. So I ended up back in the North Shore of Boston and kind of kicking around and, you know, having grown up in like coastal communities and, you know, always being within like 20 minutes of the shoreline. I was like, you know what, let me get in and take a refresher and go try this thing in the sea because I'd only dove in like the Finger Lakes where my checkout dives were and, you know, the great Colgate University diving well. So, you know, so I went and tried that out and I liked it. And then I accidentally found the New England Lobster Divers group on Scuba Board. I found the Deco Stop in the height of its years and ended up with a bunch of people. And, you know, I did end up buying my first BC was a recreational like stabilization jacket. But I very quickly, by around 40, 50 dives, was borrowing a friend's backplate and wing and kind of going down this DIR pathway.
What was that just from the people that you were surrounded by, or was it something that you were kind of interested in?
I mean, at the time I was starting to get into that, it was a very small group of people who were in like the backplate, wing, but it fit my personality and the type of people who were involved with that, you know, general scuba was very standard, like stab jacket, like back inflate stabilization jackets were like brand new when I got back into diving. So this was super early 2000s, 2002. So I just identified better when I was, you know, talking with the people who are in the kind of DIR Hargrethian, you know, thinking about GUE training community. That was where the engineers and the computer geeks and, you know, those types of personalities were people who do things intensely. So it was the people who were a little bit of a gearheads and they enjoyed the activity for, you know, kind of geeking out about the activity and doing the activity versus the rest of kind of the general community. I might call that more as, you know, scuba was a means to go see a thing and, you know, whatever I need to put together to do that. I think I had a time where I had the last time I rented a BC, the corrugated hose like separated from the jacket up at the top. So I'm like, you know, doing the treading water thing and like handing my weights off to my buddy. Yeah. That was fun. I'd be like, yeah. There's got to be a better way to this. But But I mean, shore diving, I guess I could have just gone to the bottom and walked on the beach back.
So when you were looking for this new path, this different way, mingling, hanging out with these DIR folk, did you start trying to seek training to get this type of diving done? Or because I'm 25 years. Yeah. So they were around. Yeah. So like, how did you find DIR training? Was it just something that, you know, a buddy of a buddy or something like that?
So this group, that there was a bunch of local people who were connected with the Deco Stop. So I kind of met them through Scuba Board and then started diving with that group. And, you know, there's a bunch of people doing wreck dives. And of course, even you know this from being up in the Northeast and being in cold water, that and not great visibility all the time. And you've got waves. And it's one of those environments that very much, very quickly can illustrate you should have more training, you should have more skill set. Like it, and just the status quo was too low with other training environments. Like I did a normal industry course, advanced open water, when I had 24 dives. I had more dives than my other like four or five classmates in that class combined. And the very first dive of our advanced class, first time meeting everybody, nobody had dove together, nobody had ever met this instructor, just like signed up with a dive shop, went and did this, was a night dive in 3-foot, 1-meter breakers.
That's terrifying.
And it was like miserable underwater. And you know, people are just not comfortable. And like, how do you, as a scuba instructor now, I'm like, oh my God, the lack of control in that environment. Like I would never even want to get in the water with Fundy students in the dark for the first time. You're like, I don't want to be able to see my students and see how they react when you put them in the water, not go to the ocean in breakers in the dark. Yeah. With people who've never night dived before. Yeah. Yeah. That's A+. So yeah, it's just having that contrast of people who are kind of, you know, reading up and reading papers and trying to have some debate about like which gear was better rather than just like, here is the thing that comes in the rental package. And you know, we ended up putting together a massive Fundies class in Boston in, I think it was 2003. And we had 3 different instructors, 10 students, I believe. And that was interesting because I was one of the lesser experienced people in the group. We had people who were already doing tech dives and such like that. So for me, it was the, you know, I was really liked recreational diving, but being from a cold, demanding environment with lots of wrecks, I'm of course thinking I'm going to go down the pathway of becoming a wreck diver and maybe eventually technical diving. So that's what kind of took me on that pathway initially.
How was the Fundies course? I guess first of all, so was because it had to have been fairly a newer agency at that point. So how did somebody just kind of say, hey, we should take this course. Let's get these instructors up here. Because I'm assuming that most of the instructors were probably down in the north or the south, the southeast at that time.
Well, no. So this was interesting. So, in the dark ages of GUE, the 3 instructors, one of them was Andrew Georgitsis. If you know some of your history, he peeled off about a year later to go create Unified Team Diving. And that was, of course, drama because, I mean, you can't have GUE and DIR without some sort of drama going on. And then we had an instructor... we had an instructor from from California, and then we also had Brando Schwartz, who you may know from the Great Dive podcast, and he was the 3rd instructor. And I'm still friendly with him because there were some things of personality matches. Let me put it that way: personality matches with those instructors, with some of the people. And one of the biggest things in the GUE early days is, very few people who were tech diving had any other input, or even recreational diving for that matter, had any other input that there was another way to do things with more precision. So there interacting with their instructors and they're being told, you're good, you're awesome, here's your card, go tech dive. And then you get introduced to people with a whole other level of proficiency in the water. And it's like, you know, somebody, it's like taking somebody who's just barely able to walk and watching somebody like sprint and do backflips, right? And all of a sudden your eyes are open to that. But in those early days, a lot of people didn't know what they didn't know. So a lot of the early, when I took Fundies, it had just transitioned from being a workshop that was strongly suggested, or you just had to do the workshop, didn't matter how you did, in order to go to cave and tech training. So this was in the days where all GUE had was cave one, cave two, tech one, tech two, and then this Fundies workshop, which was added afterwards because people were going into this advanced training without enough of the open water fundamentals, right? So the class had just become a pass-fail class. No rec pass, no tech pass, just you either passed it or you failed Fundies and had to take it again before you were allowed to go to the upper level. So in those early days, there was a lot of the, you know, instruction being directed at educating people that they weren't as good as they thought they were. But you got to remember, I'm one of the few instructors that was around. Like, I'm right after the first generation was when I started in GUE. So I have this big perspective on it. And fortunately, the organization is not that anymore. You know, if I have anybody who comes to me wanting to take a class and I get the air that they already feel like they know everything, then there's a conversation we have about why are you taking this class if you already think you know everything. And we screen out the people who aren't there to learn.
Is that something that you run into quite a bit, or is it just kind of a random case here and there? Okay.
That was the jam 20 years ago.
Was it.
Because also, you get Fundamentals was a one weekend long course. It was significantly less expensive. So it's like, this was a, hey, you know, let me go and heckle. And like, you know, you had a lot of those like early internet, like tech diver list people kind of coming in. And you got to remember too, like where I took this is like, I'm up in New England. You know, this is the part of the country that invented the 5-pound sledgehammer as part of your weighting system. I mean, you know, a Christmas tree is not the thing that's, you know, got your presents under. So Christmas tree is what you hang all your tools and crap off of, and you just clip that off to you and then get all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's what we were coming from. That was tech diving 20, 25 years ago in New England and Jersey and, like, you know, all those areas in North Atlantic. So that was the course was different because it was more of a intervention than an education. And now when I'm talking with students about coming to class, is really, this is Fundamentals is a structured coaching program to become a better diver. And it's not about how good are you. It's not about I'm better than you. No, it's about where are you? Where do you want to be? And having a skilled professional who can take all of your, I'm going to do it, I'm going to drop an F-bomb, all of your give a fuck. And you're going to take all of the give a fuck that the students, and that's the most GUE students come into class with all of the give a fuck. But it's not necessarily focused on the things that are going to get them the results that they want. So our job recreationally, the lower the level the course is, recreational fundamentals, the more important this is, of we're taking all that energy that our students are spitting at us, and it's our job to reflect it and focus it, that they're putting their energy into the things that are going to help them get better.
No, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, from your experience, you probably came in and you could probably think of, you know, 30 things in your fundamentals class that you could have done better. Well, you can't work on 30 things at once. What is the first one or two things that will help you get the foundation to fix another 5? Having a really skilled educator is what helps break that down into, well, what should your priorities be? And then also a really big emphasis on not just, oh, you need better buoyancy. The answer to everything is always better buoyancy. But how do you get to better buoyancy, right? I can have three students in a fundies class that need to improve their buoyancy, and each one of them could have a different focus on what they need to do to improve their buoyancy. One is trying to quiet their feet down so they're not confusing their buoyancy with propulsion. One of them needs to take normal breaths, not big inhales and exhales. And the other one needs to focus on making smaller and more frequent adjustments to their wing. All the same problem, but as the professional, I'm looking at it and trying to break it down. What are the actionable items that you can manage in your brain at once? And then once we figure those out, then we move on to the next ones and the next ones until you get to the proficiency that you want. That never ends. You know, like I'm still in the water. I had a pair of brand new fins on yesterday and I'm, you know, going, all right, I got to figure out how exactly to get the performance that I want out of this equipment that feels slightly different than what I'm used to. So it never ends in this sport.
That's a great perspective. And so I'm gonna bring it back just a tad bit. I'm definitely want to get back to the fundamentals and that sort of stuff. But so you took that first fundamentals class and during that class, like when did you know that you wanted to become an instructor, or was it just something you kind of stumbled into? Like talk to me about that path.
So I've had a very different background to a lot of divers and GUE that are instructors that are about the same generation as me. So I was, you know, my degree is in astrogeophysics. At the time when I took fundamentals, I was working in grant work and doing science communication for basically different like science museums. And you're a Boston person, you know, I was working for MIT. They have the control center for the X-ray equivalent to Hubble. So there's another satellite up there that observes in X-rays, whereas Hubble's visible, and working at that control center and, you know, doing all the bridging to the public. So, you know, I was doing those types of things and I had like a quote unquote real job, and then got out of grant work, got into real estate, which is a family business because grant work sucks. If anybody who's ever been in grant work, they know that it really sucks. And, you know, that's what I did for, you know, 15 years after college, was that mix of science communication and real estate stuff. So I was just a diver. So I took that fundamentals class, another little interesting tidbit. I didn't pass it. I failed miserably. I was fairly new to a dry suit. I probably had 40 dives in a dry suit. But then I like threw doubles on for that fundies class. Like I had like two dives and doubles. That was not smart. But also the course was significantly shorter, and it was, people think it's drinking from a fire hose now. It was 2 days as it. And it just wasn't enough for me. I ended up taking fundies twice more after that. And the third time I took fundies, my dad took fundies with me. So my dad started diving after, right around when I took fundies the first time. I have to specify because there were three. So my dad took like a normal industry class. Like he did it private because I already kind of knew enough about the scuba industry that I'm like, all right, we're not going to put you in this like 10 person class and, you know, trying to get somebody who's going to teach him, like not just doing all the skills on his knees. He goes to do his checkout dives in Hawaii. They're taking him through like swim throughs that are like legit swim throughs. Like you're going to get thrashed and like spit out the wrong way on the lava rocks. So he's like, yeah, I can come do this fundies thing with you. So he went and did this fundies thing. And my dad had 10 dives when he took fundies. And now I'm up around 150. I think my first fundies was at about 100 dives. I'm up at around 150. And my dad starts kicking my ass in the fundamental skills because he's in a wetsuit. He's in a single. I'm in a dry suit. And I'm in doubles. I have all these bad habits from 150 dives of just doing it some way. And my dad's like, I don't have a normal and it all feels weird. So I'll just do this different weird because the instructor seems to get really excited when I do it this different weird. So I'll do that. So that was a super fun thing. And like, my dad got into diving because he thought he'd do like a trip or two with me. He'd always wanted to do it. He's, you know, coming up on retirement age at that point. And my parents had me when they were late, so my dad was older. You know, he thought he'd do like 25 dives and be done. And we ended up doing about 350 dives together before he hung it up. I taught him how to dive doubles. He came to a couple of dry suit demo days. So we got in the water off Gloucester, Mass. And got to see some of those critters firsthand. And so that was, you know, that's a little sidebar and like the journey of that recreational pathway. But, you know, he had no desire to get into the cave or tech stuff, but he did eventually like the doubles for being on boats with the Yahoos and things. So so that was the pathway into that. And, you know, once you kind of see the control that somebody who really has these basic skills down, and you start getting that yourself, it's just, that's what makes this sport so relaxing and rewarding for me, is just that feeling of weightlessness and control and having three dimensions and, it, you know, it's underwater flying.
No, it really is. So what was the path like to become an instructor? How long have you been a GUE instructor?
So I'm 20 years in GUE as a diver this year, 10 years as an instructor. So I had a very delayed start. I never taught for any other agency. So I was, you know, day job and I was pleasure diving. You know, in the middle there, I got through fundamentals. I took a tech class. I ended up getting convinced by some of my local buddies up in Boston to take a cave class for the skill set for tech diving. And that's how I became a cave diver, because I absolutely fell in love with it. But then, you know, I did Cave 2, Tech 2, rebreathers weren't a thing. It was all open circuit. Helium was a little bit more available, a little bit more affordable than it is now. So, you know, by the time I worked on starting to become an instructor, I had the year prior went out and got credentials to become a cave guide through, because GUE doesn't have that, through another agency. I got credentials to act as basically a cave dive master. And I did that for about a year because I'm like, hey, if I take my passion and make it into a job, is that going to make me hate the thing that I love? So I kind of wanted to test that out before I made a huge investment of time, money, and effort into becoming an instructor. So when I started down the GUE route, I was 6 years past my last GUE course, which was Tech 2. Been a cave diver for about 8 years at that point. So it was only a year after I became the instructor that I got my Sheck Exley 1000th cave dive. So I did a lot of time as a diver. I was on the WKPP for about 3 years before I started to go the instructor pathway. And so that's, it is a very different background, because most of the instructors now are coming in as like Tech 1 divers or very experienced recreational divers. But not too many instructors are starting their pathway to become a fundamentals instructor when they're already kind of at the end of the education on the GUE pathway. So it was really beneficial to me. You know, initially I started the instructor development. I'm like, well, I know how to dive. I know a lot of things about this environment and projects and what this end thing is. I have no clue how to adjust a back plate to somebody else. So it was an interesting experience, and it was only a couple years before I became an instructor that GUE had changed the program that, you know, up until a couple years before when I started the process, you had to be an open water instructor through another agency before coming into GUE. So I was in that first couple years of, I had never taught scuba. So I was like a technical dive master and came in and had, you know, not really ever worked with open water classes before, which was hilarious because my ITC, my instructor training course that I was in, was three super active PADI instructors who were becoming fundies instructors. So that was an interesting awakening. But, you know, background of having a science background and having a communication background from the science communication, and a lot of working in residential real estate is having one-on-one educating conversations with people in a small group environment. And, you know, I was good at presenting. I mean, I learned how to present giving planetarium shows to fifth graders and fifth graders on field trips, science museum. Great behavior in the dark. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where my public speaking comes from. And able to kind of put those together. And, you know, by the time you're in your, it was in my mid-30s when I was becoming a GUE instructor. And that's just, it's a different perspective. And I'm glad I had that perspective. And it's given me a lot of ability that as I'm an instructor evaluator for GUE in the recreational curriculum. And I that gives a lot of background to the skills that I can help convey to the next wave of GUE recreational instructors.
Awesome. Do you remember, I was going to say, do you remember your first class, but you said it was three active padding instructors. Is that what you were saying? Like the first class that you taught?
The first class that I taught would have been, so I did an instructor exam dry run. So I flew out to Vancouver Island and worked with one of the GUE instructors out there. Never dove Vancouver Island before. So I show up in a foreign country, cold water. And I mean, at that point, I was living in Florida, right? So they're like, oh, Florida girl's going to come here. I'm like, guys, I did 10 years diving in Boston. I do know how to use the dry gloves, right? So, you know, I got out there, and it was one of those two very challenging students in a very challenging environment. We're title, we've got current, we're trying to keep the students on the line. It was hilarious. So actually, this was the wave of there was no female instructors in North America at that point in time. And this dry run instructor exam that I did, there were two other women who are now GUE instructors that was their first internship observing a class. So that was a very interesting one. And I walked in thinking I was co-teaching the class, like with the local instructor. And he did like the first 5 minutes and then handed everything over to me. And I taught the class and he taught the last 5 minutes on day four. And I'm like, all right. And then I flew back to Florida and I did my instructor exam. And that one was very different because when I was out in Vancouver Island, I was dealing with real normal progression recreational divers, where you're trying to keep progressing them through the skills, but we're having major challenges with buoyancy and stability that are making that challenging. And then on the flip side of it, I go to Florida and 2 weeks later, I'm doing my instructor exam for real. And in the GUE pathway, when you do this, you have an instructor evaluator watching you teach a real live class to real live students who don't currently hold a certification from GUE at that level. But the two that I had were just like my cave buddies who didn't have fundamentals. So, you know, were we getting refinement points on things like propulsion and stuff like that? But these are people who didn't have major propulsion issues. It was all really fine detail stuff and procedures and teaching them a whole system. So, you know, there's some people who won't adopt everything that GUE does. And I've taught numerous of those in fundamentals. And I say, in order for this to be a productive experience for all of us, you need to just let me tell the story of GUE fundamentals and recreational diving for 4 days. Just follow me on this journey. And when you get to the end of the 4 days and you have the full picture, then you can make a judgment of is this system right for you or not, or grab piecemeal. But all I ask you to do is just come on the ride with me for 4 days. And then at the end of the 4 days, we can have the debate of which versus which works best for you or maybe works best in general. And that's a great conversation to have over beers at the end of class.
Okay. Wet rocks diving. Tell me about that. Mm-hmm. How did that become?
So cave diving has really become my passion. And those of you who have been around in Florida for topside fun or diving fun in the springs know that you get a lot of questions from the tubers. And at some of those sites, those tubers are not particularly sober. You get a lot of really stupid questions. So, and to some extent, sometimes you're just trying to like brief your dive and get in and like go, or you're teaching. And, you know, they're asking you 9 billion questions. So they're going, what do you guys see down there in the caves? And the sarcastic remark is wet rocks. So that's where that came from. But also, I like the double entendre of getting in the water, getting wet, rocks is fun. You know, so it's got a little bit of roots in both of those.
Okay. When did that form?
So I started Wet Rocks when I started cave guiding. So this was about a year before I became a GU instructor. So that's 2012.
Oh, okay. Cool. What are the courses that you're teaching mostly these days? Is it fundamentals? Is it Tech 1, Cave 1? Or what's your favorite course to teach afterwards? But courses do you see a lot of?
So, well, I'll tell you what I teach, and then I'll tell you, you know, what I see in different areas. So I teach all the recreational programs, which is Rec 1, which is GUE's Learn to Dive program. Rec 2, this is Recreational 2, not Rec with a W. Recreational 2, which is essentially GUE's version of Advanced, and that does include Rescue. And then there's Recreational 3, which is GUE's version of deep diving. So a little bit of deco, but not all the way to like the level of a Tech 1. I teach DPV 1 and fundamentals and all the little primers and stuff that are, you know, skills around that. I teach Tech 1. So that's to 170 feet, 51 meters on Trimix with one deco gas. I teach Cave 1, which is an introduction to the cave environment for people who have taken fundamentals. Cave 2, which is full cave, including stage and decompression. And I teach cave DPV as well. So that's using the scooters in the cave environment for full cave divers. Another big passion of mine is I do a lot of side mount and survey. So those may eventually be things, cave survey, that I end up getting involved with instructionally. Right now, I'm just doing it like coaching with people who are on exploration teams with me. And I'm also an instructor, trainer, and evaluator. Trainer for fundamentals and evaluator for Rec 1 and Rec 2, the recreational programs. So what I see most of, because I am in Florida, is I see mostly cave classes because I live in High Springs, which is, you know, the center of cave diving in the continental U.S. And I've done a lot of fundamentals, and now I've done a lot of fundamentals also on the road, going up to and developing communities in the Midwest, in the Mid-Atlantic, in the Northeast, kind of focusing on those underserved areas of the U.S. east of the Mississippi. And now that I'm kind of transitioning over to the trainer world, my mission's really to identify good local divers who would make good instructors in those communities and develop them so those communities have a local instructor and also provide that local instructor a base that, you know, and those are all locations that, you know, that the water does this ugly solid form thing about this time of year that makes diving a little bit inconvenient. And, you know, maybe coming to Florida to do some training or do some diving in the middle of the winter is a good idea. So that's, you know, a lot of people that have come down to train in Florida, that's what they've been doing is training outside of their dive season so that they're ready for getting into the waters up at home when the season starts. So that's what I see a lot of. I do teach a round of tech classes usually in the spring because I'm trying to avoid the ugliest of the weather or hurricane complications. And then I also work with another instructor with Wet Rocks who is in the Miami area. So he does a lot of the recreational stuff for those who are more based in South Florida, that local community there as well.
What is is Cave your favorite to teach, or what's your favorite?
Yeah, Cave definitely. Cave is my main passion. It's challenging because it's to pick what your favorite is. So let me give you my favorite moments from each of the classes. So of course, Learn to Dive. The first time somebody breathes off a regulator and they're convinced that they're going to like suck in water and it works wonderfully and they've spent their first, you know, 2 minutes submerged in the shallow end, or where we teach it here, it's a spring where we're in like, you know, 3 feet of water and they get to watch a turtle swim by for the first time. That's just awesome to be able to witness somebody from going from, you know, a landlubber to a scuba diver. In fundamentals, I love that transition of people who on, you know, the first day of diving in the class, they're like, I have no idea how I'm going to be able to do any of this. And here's all of these things. And oh my God, I should sell all my gear, Right. So most people who are, especially these type A personalities, there's that moment of like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to do it. I should just quit. And you get them over that and be like, here's how we can break it down. And you can get them to the end of the class, and we're not going to make everybody perfect by the end of the class, but we're going to get you a couple rungs up the ladder, and we're going to identify some good focused homework for you to go to continue that process before eventually you would plateau out. And, you know, I now have things that are broken that I don't know how to fix. I need to plug back in to a professional, whether that be coaching or another class. What are the next things that I can do to take my skill set to the next level of where I want to be? And that's going to be different for every single diver. And then, of course, in the cave environment, cave one is really fun when you have somebody who's never been in an overhead before. Because, you know, when you teach technical diving, you teach deeper recreational classes. It's not entirely a new environment. If you're doing a wreck dive at, 100 feet, 30 meters, and now you're doing a wreck dive at 45 meters, 150 feet, it doesn't really look that different. You have some other stuff you have to do, but it's not a new environment. You take somebody who's got even 1,000 open water dives and you put them in a cave for the first time. And they're like, oh my God, this is a new world. And I love surfacing after that first dive. And it's nothing about the skills of the training. It's always, what did you see in the cave? What did you think was cool? We're going to talk about all the stuff that could be better in a few minutes, but let's appreciate the beauty of this environment, because that's why we are putting in the work. And the upper level cave stuff, I mean, one of the main reasons I started training is, when I do eventually retire, I want a nice group of people that I can go diving with and have fun. And the best way to ensure that happens is I love at the higher levels being able to train people that are my teammates down the road. And I've now been in this long enough that I have people that are now coming out on exploration teams and doing challenging dives with me who, you know, I remember their fundamentals class. So that's super rewarding.
No, that's awesome. So a question I did want to ask you is, what are some misconceptions that you hear about when people are signing up for a class? Because, I mean, I know I had some going in, and I just want to kind of get a take, like, what, you know, I've heard some funny ones, and I'm sure you have heard some too, but like, is there a common one? Is there, like, what's the most random one? But just some misconceptions that people might have when they think of GUE.
So I think one of the biggest things is finding an instructor that's got the right personality type for you, because we're all built different. We all have different goals. We all want to be taught different ways. But I think one of the biggest misconceptions for fundies is that you need to practice to take fundies. And my particular philosophy on fundies and how I train instructors that I'm developing in this is that there's a short list of basic open water skills that people should have a command of before they come to fundies. And if they don't have those, then they need to do some remedial work. And for me, that's, how do you put a scuba tank together? Like, can you get the regulator on the right way and the BC on the right side of the tank? Understanding really basic dive physics, like expandy, compressy, those things. You know the techniques to equalize and clear a mask, okay, if you need some help with it, but you at least know how you should do that. You can put on a wetsuit without assistance. You can move scuba gear from point A to point B on the surface without assistance. And you have some basic water comfort in terms of you can basically have the cardio fitness and the skills that the swim test isn't hard for you. Did I say anywhere in there that you need to have perfect buoyancy or trim or know how to use the equipment or know how to do a back kick? No. So once you have those basic things, so if you're missing some of that stuff, is like, I really can't equalize, or I'm really having problems with when should I add gas, when should I dump gas, like super massive, like how does this thing over here work? Those should be handled in a refresher or some one-on-one coaching. That's only the people we see that are people who had a big layoff from diving. They certified 5 years ago and haven't dove since. Everybody else is, if you are an active diver, come take fundies and come and take it in the exposure protection you're used to and the tank size you're used to. Some of the biggest misconceptions, think of, especially if you have somebody who wants to go to tech diving or cave diving, they think that, oh, well, because this class can be done in doubles, that it should be, oh, I'm going to learn all the fundamentals things and I'm going to learn doubles at the same time. For the love of God, don't do that to yourself. I've only had a couple students be able to successfully pull that off, and they were usually in their 20s. And either like insanely fit people, like special forces, Marines, like people who are just unbelievably good with their body. But that's not most people. That's not me. And I say that from the position of, you know, I took my first two fundamentals in doubles and finally got talked back into, why don't you put a single on and fix the problems with your buoyancy? This is going to allow you to implement the changes and the fixes that you're given. Once you fix that, then you can put on doubles and it's almost the same. And that's exactly what happened for me. And I just, you know, had to be stubborn and, you know, not listen for a while. And then I have to go to my instructor and be like, okay, yeah, you were right. So it's, don't overcomplicate things for yourself. You know, if you're in a cold water environment, the only place you have to dive is, needs a dry suit, then prioritize getting into that. You're taking a Fundies class in Florida, you don't need a dry suit if you're not used to diving a dry suit already. So that's my main thing, is don't think you need to practice. And actually, this is for any GUE class. Don't think you need to practice the skills that are the skills that are taught in that next class. What you need to practice is the stuff that comes before. So a open water certified diver coming into fundamentals, can you go diving and be able to clear your mask, clear your ears okay? Some familiarity of, you know, where is your inflator? You know, just like that degree of muscle memory, water comfort. For people coming into, you know, cave diving and tech diving, it's, you don't need to practice with a deco bottle. You don't need to practice with a reel ahead of time. If you come in with all of the things from the last class super refined and doing it second nature, then we can add other things onto that. From the recreational perspective, recreational one students, the graduates getting ready to go on to recreational two, going on to advanced, get good at the buoyancy, get really comfortable at deploying an SMB without that being significantly task loading from 30 feet, 9 meters. So when you go do the triox, which is about to get renamed because you don't have to use helium in that class, which, you know, dives up to 30 meters, 100 feet, and you're going to potentially be deploying that SMB from 70 feet, 21 meters now, you have really good proficiency having done it a lot shallow. And now you're adding on more stops to having to deploy that SMB and doing it midwater. If you have gotten really good at doing it in 30 feet, like we practice in recreational one, and 9 meters, like we practice in recreational one, then learning how to do it in blue water while you're ascending, then that's the new skill, not how do I actually deploy the SMB. So that's one of the big things that's probably different from people coming from, if they've taken multiple classes through the traditional agency pathway, is how progressive the GUE classes are. You know, we don't go back and reteach things from the previous levels. The way we can get you more proficiency is we are assuming that you've got the skills, which are very standardized, of course, across the curriculum from the previous class, really refined so that we can add to those, not reteach those. Now, of course, as an instructor, I'm not expecting people to be perfect. I'm expecting that there's going to be little refinements. But when I have people who still have a lot of refinements, and they have spent their time before a tech class, instead of working on buoyancy and doing midwater ascents and descents, they've spent their time swimming around with a deco bottle on and go, wasn't the best way to practice for the class, right? If you have really good buoyancy and you've done your work at fundamentals and recreational, I can teach you in a navigation class how to run a reel. And now you can just focus on how to run that reel in that recreational navigation class. If your buoyancy isn't squared away, then you're having so much of your brain go to, how do I manage my buoyancy? So that, and not enough of it's on the new skill. So to kind of summarize, it's the take the class as soon as you can in a gear configuration that has as few changes from how you've been diving. So some people are going to be going from a stabilization jacket to a backplate, wing, and long hose. That is enough new stuff for you. Go and take that class. The only places that that might be different, that you could challenge yourself more in the class, is if you do have a truly local instructor to you that you're going to be able to see every other weekend at the dive site. Then maybe that advice gets a little bit different, because if you need more time, you're going to have access to that instructor in a short period of time. If you are traveling to, or you're having an instructor travel to you, then you want to not overload yourself with new stuff so that you have a better chance of focusing on the next skills to get to the next step, so you can work on that step while you don't have a professional local to you.
So I will be honest, that was actually one of the big misconceptions that I had, was that lots of practice needs to be done before the class. And so I took my fundamentals class in November, and actually took it with my girlfriend. She's a newer diver. She got certified earlier this year. And, you know, I was like, hey, do you want to take this course? Well, I think at first I was talking to the instructor, Gemma, and I was asking her tons of questions, and it was kind of the same thing that you were saying, like, no, you don't need to do that. Yes, wetsuit is fine. I think I knew you could take it in single tank, but I just had a lot of misconceptions going in, like I need to practice. And because one thing I even was telling her, I'm like, man, I haven't been in doubles. I think it was like it'd been in two years. I mean, I had a decent amount of dives in doubles, and then I just stopped. And I was like, I haven't been in doubles in a while. Haven't been in a dry suit. I have some dives in a dry suit, but just moving to Southeast Asia, I haven't needed to use it. And no, it was really eye-opening. Like the class, I really, really enjoyed it. So did my girlfriend, to the point where we were talking about we might even just go take a Rec 2 class together, because I don't think there's a point to take a Rec 1 class, recreational 2.
Rec 2, yeah.
Yeah, just because that way it develops her skill set more, but then I get a chance to kind of see the whole how it's all done, you know, because I love going into classes, because I always feel like no matter what, even if you're the worst instructor in the world, I'm going to learn something, right? So when you're an amazing instructor, I learn more, you know? So that's how I always kind of look at things. But no, that's a huge thing, because when I was back in Texas, that was like, you know, I'd see people every weekend and they're training for their fundamentals, and they're doing this and they're doing that. So that's why I think I had it in my head that you need to go out, you need to work hard for this class, because it's not the easiest class, this big technical agency, you know, and it was just really mind blowing. That's why I'm, you know, kind of a goal in this series that I'm doing is to try to highlight misconceptions, the recreational side, that there is this big recreational side, and you don't necessarily have to become a technical diver to go dive with GUE. So,
and one of the things people can ask if they're concerned or feeling like they need to practice before they've taken their first GUE class, especially, the number one thing I want to put in your mind is, until you've taken your first GUE class, you don't know what to practice. And you may have very good divers in your community, but they're not educators, and they may have you. And that tends to be, as I tend to focus on procedures rather than things that I would prioritize for somebody coming in, is I want you to have control, buoyancy, and stability before I'm going to over-focus on procedures. So then what you can ask for choosing an instructor is, how do they manage having somebody in the class who's very new and somebody in the class who say is going for the recreational level, and somebody in the class who maybe this isn't their first time in fundies and they're getting ready to technical pass to go up to a cave or tech class? How do they manage that if they have those two students in the same class? That's a good question to ask them, because if this instructor has some solutions for that, and there's many of us that do, then that's going to be a good match for you. So the stuff that you know, the one challenge is some of the more popular fundamentals instructors, it can take a while to book a class with them because their schedules are full, especially if you're dealing with a place that doesn't have a quote unquote local instructor. So if you haven't taken a GUE class, it's of course, go dive in the meantime. If you've just switched over to a backplate and wing, learning where your inflator is. So when you go, you're just diving to be like, hey, when I go to grab my inflator, I don't have to feel around to get to it. I've got the muscle memory of here's where my inflator is. Here's where my rear dump is. The equalization, the clearing, the mask, that your breathing is normal. Those types of things, that's go have fun. Enjoy the underwater world. But if you're doing purposeful practice without having that guide of what should you be practicing, there's a chance you're going to be learning the wrong things and reinforcing the wrong stuff. And, you know, I go back to, you know, when I was in my third fundamentals and my dad was in his first, and I have 150 dives, my dad has 10, and he's kicking my ass. Like the instructor says, here, do this. And he just does it. And I'm like, how the heck did you just, and I'm there just flailing around and like somersaulting and like, no, all right, okay. So there is also this thing of the learning curve is a lot steeper when somebody's new. So if you can get in soon, get in soon.
Well, hopefully that does not answer my last question for you. What advice would you have to newer divers or maybe someone that just completed a fundamentals course or somebody that is going to take a fundamentals course? And I know we just kind of literally went over all of that, but I would say like maybe, you know, well, how about this? Someone going towards a cave one, what advice would you have to that person?
When we have people who have challenges in cave one, it is almost always fundamental skills. It's not the reel. It's not the navigation. It's not the lost line drill. It's buoyancy, trim, stability, propulsion, reaching your valves and trim while stable. Those are the things that you should focus on. And it's just little things like, you know, the thing you should be asking yourself is all of the things that I did in fundamentals to tech pass or to rec pass, if going to whatever next level. Those things that I maybe successfully did at the end of class, but I had to think about them hard in order to do them correctly. We call that conscious competency. Anybody who knows Mavlov's four levels, you know, you go from unconscious incompetence, you don't know what you don't know. Conscious incompetence, that's, you know, the I'm going to sell all my gear and fundies level, where you know everything that's wrong, but you can't fix it yet. And our goal in all of these classes and where I pass somebody is conscious competence. We don't have time in a 4-day or 6-day class to get you to the fourth level, which is unconscious competence or mastery. And that's where your buoyancy, your trim, reaching your valves, finding your inflator, your getting to your pockets, that those things don't end up taking 50% of your brain power to do. They need to take a couple percent. So you need to make that transition to, I have to think about all of this to do all the steps correctly, to have the control, to I can do that control with it only taking a couple of brain cells. Once you get there, then you're ready to learn how to move through the cave environment, how to run a reel. And you can use all that brain power for the new thing and the buoyancy and the stability, and that's already there and you have that extra capacity for the new stuff. So that's my biggest thing is don't rush through the, hey, I passed this class. This is a conversation I have with some people, especially when people are further away, is there is a gap in between where I see you demonstrate tech pass skills and where I can tell that you are using 90% of your capacity to demonstrate a tech rating skill at the fundamentals level. If you jump into a tech one class without having cemented those skills that were at 90% of your capacity just to do the fundamental stuff, you're going to find cave one less fun and more overwhelming. Make it so that stuff is natural. And same thing for you coming out of fundamentals and your girlfriend coming out of Learn to Dive. For you guys, it's get really good with just your buoyancy, your propulsion. Get that stuff super solid so that you aren't having to think so much about how do you maintain depth, really good, solid, you know, last three stops going to the surface and good propulsion. So now when you go into recreational two and you're learning how to run a reel or a spool for a search pattern, you're working on navigating with a compass, you're working on diving to deeper depths, you're working on practicing rescue scenarios, and there's portions of that that are underwater. And now you can be thinking about those new things and not as much about the buoyancy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely wonderful, wonderful advice, because there is that tendency to want to, I just finished this class, what's the next course? You know, well, I know for me, that's the case sometimes, like what's the next thing I can do, as opposed to kind of just taking a step back, letting everything you've learned soak in and refining those skills.
Yeah. And I would say too, it's also the get good. If you have a regular dive buddy that you're training with, and don't just do training dives. Go do some diving in that. That's not all like planned out drills. But when even when you do a fun dive, you know, you can throw a drill into your safety stop. You can throw a, you know, doing a flow check, just get taking something into or out of your pockets while you're on a safety stop on a fun dive. But having a buddy, a teammate that you can talk with on that dive, hey, you know, if you see anything that I can do better, please tell me. Because sometimes in this community, we have this sense of you don't want to be that guy who's given somebody advice, and you know, unless they want it. I mean, I did this yesterday because I got these new fins on. I'm diving with my friends and I'm like, hey, you know, can you tell me if my, you know, my fin tips are doing something stupid? You know, I want to hear it, you know? So I'm diving with somebody who is an instructor and be like, you got to give them permission to tell you if something isn't ideal. And then the next thing you need to be thinking of yourself, just like in class, is, all right, if I have this thing that's was not ideal on this dive, do I know how to fix it? Like, hey, my buoyancy was off. Okay, I need better buoyancy. What are you going to do on your next dive to fix your buoyancy? The answer is not just dive more. There needs to be a very specific action item that you're thinking of to fix that on the next dive, or you're just repeating the error over and over again. If you and your team can't come up with what the solution is to make that thing that you've identified isn't working correct, that's when you need to reach out to a coach, a mentor, an instructor, get a coaching day to get those plugins of, you know, what do I need to do to tweak things up? I get in the water with some of my peers, some of my other cave instructors every now and be like, hey man, what do you see that I can do better? Give me the things. You know, and do you have any tips on how I can think of fixing this differently? That's the approach. So it's not always just the next class. And we do have in GUEs that, you know, not every class has a required 25 dives in between. The intent of that 25 dives is not just checking the box on those 25 dives. It's that mastering, cementing the skills that were brand new in the last class, so that they're solid. And some people, that will take more dives. And some people, that will take less dives. Because if you come out of a fundamentals at the moment, there isn't a 25 dive requirement to go on to Cave or Tech or even Rec 2. You know, there are a minimum number of lifetime dives for all of those courses, but there's no requirement after fundies that you have done so many dives before the next class. That's because some people who take fundies are very skilled and they're just, that is an exam for them. I've had some of those people who have been retraining from, I have CADE instructors who have taken fundies and be like, all right, you're good. Okay, you can go and take the next class now because we were just getting you on the same page with procedures and little tweaks. But everybody else is take that to heart on cementing what you learned on the next level so that you will get the most out of the next class and have the most fun in the next class.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, Mare, I really, really want to thank you for joining me on the podcast today, tonight, whichever, wherever you're at in the world right now.
Thank you for having me. I know it's getting late for you and the sun's finally up here. So.
a scuba podcast.